I have a little 7-year-old, Joshua. I'm his permanent legal guardian. I think I've mentioned him before, but he goes to a little school over here, the high school school, and three of the teachers are on their way to Russia for a educational conference. They sent out a newsletter to talk to us about their trip. Can you hear me? Lou? Okay. Sent out a newsletter to tell us about their trip, and they're going to be gone for 3 weeks in Russia, and in it they talked a lot about how they were loading up their suitcases with some very exotic items like coffee, tea, aspirin, items we take for granted in our free enterprise system. Marx and Lenin's faulty thinking about economics produced a system that cannot even provide basic human needs. They missed on a basic concept of human nature. Human beings are made to own property and to compete in the marketplace for rewards. This is what motivates them. And they missed it on a very basic issue. They also missed it on the basic architecture of human sexuality. Their view was the view held by more and more people today in our country, that sex is a need to be met. It's your right. The truth is, Marx and Lenin, the truth is that God designed human beings to express themselves sexually in marriage. Open your Bibles to Genesis, the 2nd chapter. We're going to skip at Genesis 2 on our way to 1 Thessalonians 4 again today. The truth is that God designed human beings to express themselves sexually in marriage. In Genesis 2, in verse 24, it says, For this reason, a man will leave his father, the older translation. They talk about leaving and cleaving. Watch. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So there is the physical union. Now watch this. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. It is in the security of a trust relationship, a covenant, really, with one spouse that sexuality is expressed. The physical oneness, going back to the original design, the original architecture in the creation account, the physical oneness is inextricably, I like that word, don't you? Inextricably linked to emotional oneness and intellectual oneness. And of course, this was all before sin entered the world, so they had a spiritual oneness. They were one with the Lord, no breakage at all, and one with each other, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and intellectually. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And what that means, the body is not meant. In other words, it was not designed to be expressed sexually outside of marriage. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. Immorality is everything outside of God's design for sexuality. Now, up to this point in our study of 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul's appeal was based on the importance of sexual purity for the sake of the Christian himself. Go over with me again to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Ahem. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It is God's will. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. In other words, it's the way God designed it. It's His will. He's the architect. He's the builder. He's the creation. He can do anything He wants. And that's the way He designed it. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Verse 5 that we studied last week. Not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God. And today, in verse 6, Paul appeals. He switches it a little bit. He appeals on the basis of the other person involved in the immoral act. Look at verse 6. He says, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. When you are involved, and it never became clearer to me than when I had a study for this morning, what a wonderful privilege. It's deepened my convictions about my own attitudes and the attitudes I have towards the people in my sphere that I'm going to be responsible for to the Lord in terms of their education. When you are involved in illicit sex, you wrong the other person because you are involving him and her, him or her, in behavior that is contrary to God's design, his will, and therefore under his judgment. And this is how we wrong them. We wrong the other person because we are robbing him or her of their ability to ever enter into a oneness with their spouse in a way that God designed it. Now, you understand what I'm saying? God designed it, sexuality, to be expressed in marriage, a covenant relationship, a trust for life. And in that trust relationship, a person is built to be able to express himself emotionally. It says they were naked and without, had no shame. There was nothing between them. But that's all wrapped up in their ability to express themselves sexually. When we involve another person sexually outside of marriage, we rob them of their ability ever to bring that transparency to their relationship. So up to now, the appeal has been for your own sake. A lot of people say, well, I'm a very good person. I would never hurt another person. The teaching today is you are hurting another person if you are involved in that or encourage that. And a lot of times we encourage it by omission as well as commission. Now, obviously, through God's grace, Christian couples who have been involved sexually, premarily or extramarily, can be healed. God will heal them through His healing power, His resurrection Holy Spirit. But remember this, sin has its consequences. And a lot of couples today, a lot of the children that we're influencing, young men and women, will never achieve what God had designed for them sexually because they're involved outside of marriage. And if there's a mist in the pulpit, there'll be a fog in the pew. And an awful lot of pulpits sitting right in here today. Marx and Lenin were dead wrong about economic philosophy. Their ideas went against the basic economic architecture of man. They are also dead wrong about sex. It goes against God's basic architecture for human sexuality. The Beatles are wrong. I was in my car this week. I wish I could sing it. Where's Jim Alexander? When I touch you, I feel... No, how's it go? When I touch you, I feel happy inside. The implication is, if it feels good, it must be okay. Dead wrong. Last week, a man who hasn't been here for a while, a good friend of mine, good-naturedly, on the way out, he says, you're sounding more, you guys at Houlihan, sound more and more like Jeremiah. And the implication I got is that we're talking about something here that people are not interested in. Right? Was that the implication? That's what I got out of it. And I thought, I noticed last week an awful lot of blank stares here along the bar. And I thought later...
They're still there.
Yeah. I thought later, when I thought about it, I said, now why do those guys look so disinterested? And I said to myself, it must be because I was talking about Leon Sullivan. Did anybody pick that up? I met Lewis Sullivan. Dr. Lewis Sullivan, the head of Health and Human Services. For some reason, the name Leon Sullivan came into my mind, and he was a black politician from Philadelphia, where I used to live, and I don't know why I did that. It was Lewis Sullivan last week, and he is one of the 8,600 administrators who is looking for a job. Political administrations change. Things change in this world, but one thing that does not change, what is it? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. It took over 70 years to prove that communism was not made for man. How many years will it take to prove that sex outside of God's design, sexual immorality, is not man's right? The challenge today is this. Do you have the right concept regarding our responsibility in providing leadership in the area of sexual immorality? Do you understand that sexual immorality will harm people irreparably? Do you understand God's design, and are you leading in this area, or are you allowing school administrators, primary, secondary, and higher education administrators to train our children? Are you advocating, or are you leading? Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Let's have a prayer together. Lord, thank you for your master plan for creation. Thank you for inventing men and women, designing them, fashioning them. Thank you for the design of sexuality. Thank you for prescribing the regulations, all under your sovereign headship for this world, your creation. Give us the grace, Lord, to be the men, the leaders that you want us to be, and to provide leadership to this world. Be an example to the people around us, starting in our own families. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.